All warfare is based on deception. Hence, when we are able to attack, we must seem unable. When using our forces, we must appear inactive. When we are near, we must make the enemy believe we are far away. When far away, we must make him believe we are near. And this week's opening quote comes from Sun Tzu and was taken from The Art of War. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Now, you might ask yourself why I would use such a quote to open the show, and the reason is that mankind is already at war. The issue is that many people can't see it because the war that has been waged against them is a silent war. And the reason people are unaware of this silent war is because it is a war of deception. Indeed, ladies and gentlemen, all war is based on deception at its very heart. And something that I've been attempting to alert people to for many years, ever since I put out my first film, The Big Picture, back in 2008, and actually before I even put out films, but the main focus of that film in 2008 was to point out to the populace that the world war that everyone has been waiting for has in fact already started, and many people haven't noticed it simply because it is not the standard World War III that they are expecting. People, when they think of war, they think of bombs and cities being destroyed, but really there are far more subtle forms of warfare that are being waged. And for those who are expecting bombs and cities being destroyed and your typical standard war, then I give you the Middle East, which is a place where we see nothing but continual warfare, and I would suggest that we have been in that state of open World War III ever since the staged attacks of September the 11th, 2001. The countries that have been wiped out since then would definitely tell you that they are part of a war. But these are theatre wars for control, and the real war that is being fought is a war that is being waged by the governments of the world in unison against the people of the world. It's a war of depopulation, and it's a war that is based largely on deception, on propaganda, on what people believe to be true, and it's an ongoing thing, and it's been ongoing for quite a number of years, and it's actually been coming to a real head since the September 11th attacks in 2001. That's where the end game really started, and it's all been leading to this point now, and we are at a very, very crucial point at the moment. We are at a real fork in the road, and this is something that I've been attempting to point out to people in the last few shows, most especially the last show that I did, was a real attempt to look at what the powers that believe they be could pull off with this whole current political situation, the worldwide situation, the cryptocurrency and financial situation. And to be honest, there's an awful lot of speculation surrounding the cryptocurrencies, and many people are adopting an extremely polarized stance on it, regardless of which side they're on. You know, either people really love it and they think it is the absolute savior and it's definitely going to lead us to safety, or people are in absolute fear of it and they think it is the devil's currency and it's going to lead us straight to hell. I've even had people posting things saying if you even promote cryptocurrency, you are promoting human enslavement. And people are really not looking at this clearly. I think they're taking far too polarized stances on it. And they're not really looking at the bigger picture. People tend to latch on to any idea that anybody puts out there. The concept that it was written by AI, I mean, we don't know that. It could have been, but we don't know. Some people are speculating that the information coming out from QAnon is AI. I sincerely doubt that myself, but some people are speculating it, and so others are taking it on as absolute gospel fact, and they're out there espousing these belief systems. A lot of people are doing this on both sides of the fence, and I think it's really important that people step back and maintain their objectivity and look at things a little bit deeper, because the cryptocurrencies are quite an interesting concept and quite an interesting phenomena. I mean, there are two really, really distinct ways that this could go. We are at a real fork in the road right now, and it's going to be how we play it and whether we allow ourselves to be led or whether we choose to lead ourselves. And we have a real opportunity to do that at the moment. You know, as I said last week, even though I looked at a lot of worst case scenario, there is still a lot of good stuff that is coming out of this whole QAnon information dump. The only real problem with it is that people are taking it too much as gospel and they are sitting back and waiting to be saved rather than acting themselves to make positive change in the world. you know, people are still expecting mass arrests and all of this sort of thing. People are still claiming there has been hundreds of arrests or 1,500 arrests or something. But again, I'm not seeing anything, folks. I mean, maybe there's small players that have been arrested in some little groups around the country or something, but I'm not seeing any of the main players being brought down. So I'm not seeing anything to confirm the fact that these arrests are actually taking place. And even the investigations I'm seeing into the Clinton Foundation and some of the rumors that are circulating around the internet about Hillary Clinton wearing an ankle bracelet, I mean, we just don't know these things to be true. And again, the problem is that too many people are simply watching the theater, eating the popcorn and sitting back and waiting to be saved rather than getting involved in acting themselves in their own community to make positive change on the ground where they live. And that's what we need people to do. You know, there's more to activism and there's more to finding a way out of this situation and there's more to do to lead us to freedom than simply sitting back and watching the information that's being brought forth by QAnon and expecting the world to change around you. And again, it's people's willingness to let someone else take care of the problem rather than deal with the problem themselves. The common attitude that humanity seems to adopt, oh gee, that's no good, someone should fix it. But they never fix it themselves, they just think someone should. But who is the someone? But anyway, folks, I digress. And irrespective of that, there still is some good information being presented to the public through this source anyway, regardless of whether QAnon is on the level or is a psyop or whatever. And, you know, the whole thing seems incredibly suspect to me, but still, even if it is suspect, as I said, there's still good information being presented to the people through it. So there are positive aspects to everything. One thing that I do know is that united we stand and divided we fall, and one thing that the Q information has the possibility of doing is uniting the people. So there are good aspects to it, folks. There's good sides and there's bad sides to everything. It's the same with the cryptocurrency. And there is still a lot of good possibilities and a lot of good things that could be achieved through use of the cryptocurrencies. Now, the problem isn't cryptocurrencies. It isn't digital currency per se. It's the smart grid and how the smart grid can be created to encompass digital currency. Indeed, if you wanted to combat the rise of cryptocurrency and what it's actually doing and how it's freeing people from the banking system, the best way to do this is to implement a smart grid, a 5G cashless society whereby cryptocurrencies will work fine with it, because it's not really about control of the banking system anymore. They've already lost control of the banking system and they already own everything anyway, so they don't really care. What it's about is maintaining centralized control over people. You know, they can't do that by putting people in scarcity anymore the way they have. If cryptocurrencies take over, they can't anyway. But what they can do is they can put people in scarcity by controlling people's access to normal everyday services by making that access digital and thereby giving themselves the power to penalize certain people by simply excluding certain people from certain basic services. And this can only happen if the smart grid is rolled out and if people embrace the cryptocurrencies without taking the smart grid into account. Because that's the thing. That's how they put you in scarcity. They simply lock you out of certain services if you don't comply with government regulations. You know, and it doesn't matter how many bitcoins you've got. It doesn't matter how much cryptocurrency you have in the bank. If you go to buy a plane ticket and you're not qualified for that plane ticket because the machine said so, then the machine said so. And that's it. That's what you do. The machine said so, so the machine said so. Who do you appeal to? The machine. And the machine will say, well, the machine said so, because that's the way it is. So in that sort of a situation, it doesn't matter how much Bitcoin you have, if you aren't able to spend it on anything because you're not qualified for certain services due to your political opinions or whatever, or the things you've been posting on Facebook or whatever, whatever reason they want. See, that's the way they can do it. And that's what the smart grid is. And that's the danger of the smart grid. And that's what they are attempting to do with this whole rise of cryptocurrencies. You know, the cryptocurrencies and the blockchain makes it necessary for them to create something like the smart grid in order to maintain control. So you got to ask yourself, you know, is this the way it should be going? Is this an organic thing, or is this being created to lead us into this direction? You know, there are good aspects to it and there are bad aspects to it. It's just how we play it and whether we notice where we can be led and whether we actually decide to take control of the situation and, as I said, lead ourselves. You see, that's the thing. Ultimately, it comes down to us. It always comes down to us. It comes down to whether we choose to support the direction they wish to take it or whether we wish to take it in our own direction. The problem is that too many people, when looking at this whole situation, they're too polarized in their thinking of it. As I said, they either hate the cryptocurrencies and see it as a system that is leading us into the smart grid, or they love the cryptocurrencies and they are embracing them, but they're failing to take the smart grid into account. I mean, maybe some people are taking the smart grid into account. I mean, I am making sweeping generalized statements here with this, as you have to do when dealing with the world situation, folks, when dealing with what the public thinks about anyway. I mean, I don't know what every section of the public is thinking, but generally speaking, you know, looking at this whole worldwide situation, there aren't too many people that I can find anywhere that are taking both sides of the coin into account and looking at it open-mindedly enough. You know, the cryptocurrencies are decentralized. The cryptocurrencies, if used correctly, could indeed lead us away from this central control system. As I've said, it's just that the central control system is adapting itself to fit the cryptocurrencies by rolling out the smart grid, because the smart grid will work with any currency that is digital. And when you think about this, you might say, well, how can they track me if it's all non-trackable, if it's all part of a blockchain, and they can't really trace where the transactions are coming from, then how can they lock you out of essential services? Well, it's by digitizing everything, by making everything smart, and what they may use as your password to access this smart system. You know, there's a new supermarket that just come online, an Amazon supermarket, which is completely digital, completely checkout free, completely cash free. You walk in there, you pick up what you want, and you walk out of the shop and it automatically detects what you picked up and it takes it out of your account. This has come online last Monday, the first Amazon store to do this. So this is the system. Now, they'll be doing that at the moment using your card or your magnetic strip in your card anyway. I think they may even be promoting that you do it with your phone. I mean, of course, they want you to be using your mobile phone for everything. Some people may want to get it done via microchips in their body or whatever, but they don't even need to do that because they can do it off your bioacoustic resonance. And again, they can simply lead you into this via the smart grid, because they introduced the smart grid and people become accustomed to shopping this way, and one thing leads to another. And of course, people think it's all just a natural progression and it's all just simply the way things should be done and it all makes perfect sense. And they don't really see that it's all been contrived to lead them into this direction to begin with. That's why they brought you into the smart grid and got you used to using all of these little devices to access the smart grid. And once people get used to doing this, they get used to using these type of stores, they get used to scanning their phones and scanning their cards or whatever, of course it's going to be easy to lose these things and misplace these things and make it hard to access the system. So they'll change it to something far more user-friendly for you, because they can send a sound wave to your skeleton and it will send them a signal back which is unique to your skeleton. This cannot be forged, it cannot be counterfeited. And in the future system that they are rolling out, this will become your password. This will be the password that opens your car, that opens your house, that opens your bank account, that opens everything. It will be the digital signature that they are logging when you walk into a supermarket or to any smart shop. So you won't even need to carry a credit card. You won't even need to be microchipped. They can just use bioacoustic resonance. So when that bioacoustic resonance becomes your password, it's that bioacoustic resonance that is registered as not being qualified for services. So it isn't a matter of you being locked out of your Bitcoin account. They won't be able to do that because, as we know, the transactions can't really be traced with Bitcoin. But they can lock you out via your bioacoustic resonance or your signature, your digital password, your person, who that person is, and how that person is registered and recognized within the smart system. That's what they lock out, and that's what they deny services to. And they can use bioacoustic resonance for large areas, such as entering airports or supermarkets or wherever. They can use thumbprints for you accessing your computer. They can use retinal scanners. There's all sorts of means they can use to do this. And as I said, in that situation, it doesn't matter how much you have in your Bitcoin wallet. It doesn't matter how much cryptocurrency you have, because if you're locked out of the system, then you're locked out of the system. And in regard to cryptocurrencies as well, many people are failing to differentiate between cryptocurrencies and general digital currencies. These are two very, very different things. And many people are failing to differentiate between cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and the blockchain. They believe that the blockchain is Bitcoin. But really, blockchain technology is simply a technology. It's a system that is used to order and arrange things and store information and basically store ledgers. It's not Bitcoin. Bitcoin simply uses that technology to function. Bitcoin uses blockchain technology, as does Ethereum and all the other cryptocurrencies. What the government is attempting to develop is a thing called IOTA, which apparently uses something called Tangle technology, which is not blockchain. Or maybe they even may develop something that is using blockchain technology because it seems to be far more efficient. It certainly wouldn't surprise me if that was the road that government decided to go down. I have heard talk that Israel is actually developing its own cryptocurrency, so perhaps that's something to go by. I haven't been able to confirm it, but I have heard it. And if it is true, then it would indicate that the government is working to actually incorporate the blockchain into the smart grid as well, or at least blockchain technology into the smart grid. But the difference between cryptocurrencies and digital currencies should really be taken into account. And it is kind of confusing because, you know, the thing is cryptocurrency is a digital currency, but digital currencies are not necessarily cryptocurrencies and not necessarily blockchain. But the thing is, again, that in the smart system that is being rolled out, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that the currency is digital in whatever form it takes, and what matters is that they have something like bioacoustic resonance or retinal scans or something like that to use as your password, and then they have the smart system in place. And like I said, in that situation, it doesn't matter whether it's Bitcoin, it doesn't matter whether it's cryptocurrencies or Tangle technology or some other form of currency, as long as it's digital. So in taking all of that into account, again, when you look at the blockchain and you look at cryptocurrencies, you look at Bitcoin, again, there are two very distinct possibilities. Either cryptocurrencies are leading to a state of independent wealth for people and are thereby leading us away from the central control of the banking system, and so the smart grid is being constructed as a means of combating this move away from the banking sector, or cryptocurrencies were created in order to lead us into the smart grid. These are the very two distinct possibilities. The question is, which one is true? And anybody who claims they know the answer to that question really is pulling your legs, folks. They're really clutching at straws because nobody knows which is true, because nobody knows who created the blockchain and nobody knows who created Bitcoin. And that's why we are at a fork in the road, because the way this is going to go, it's going to be the way we play it should we choose to actually get involved rather than sitting on the sidelines and just allowing things to unfold. And sitting back on the sidelines and allowing things to unfold is unfortunately a lot of what I see happening with the advent of this QAnon information. I see a lot of people grabbing the popcorn and sitting back and waiting for all these mass arrests to happen as if that is actually going to fix things, even if it were to happen. And at the same time, many of these people are sitting in fear of the cryptocurrency, or they're in awe of the cryptocurrency. Again, it's a very polarized way of looking at things. But at the risk of sounding all spiritual, airy-fairy, woo-woo about it all, perhaps there's another way of looking at it. And it's extremely difficult to bring understandings to people, spiritual understandings to people, without sounding New Age about it. And indeed, I believe that's one of the reasons the New Age movement was constructed to begin with, was to tie all of these real understandings and real energetic concepts up in this whole New Age woo-woo, apathetic, spiritual, narcissistic movement in order to hide these concepts and in order to lead people away from them. You know, anybody who looks at any type of spiritual understandings says, oh, this is all New Age, and they immediately shut down because of all the trappings that go with the New Age movement. And that's what they do, folks. They get real information and they embellish it to the point that it becomes absolutely ridiculous, so that people throw the baby out with the bathwater. And so, as I said, it becomes extremely difficult to present any type of real spiritual concepts to people without them thinking that you've gone off down this New Age pathway. It's very difficult to bring any philosophical or energetic concepts to people without sounding New Age about it. It's very difficult to present these sorts of ideas to people in English, because there simply aren't words in English to explain some of the more deeper understandings of reality. We just don't have the words. And I'm pretty certain the English language has been constructed in such a manner as to remove these words and remove these understandings from us. It was like in Orwell's book 1984 when they took all the words out that pertain to rebellion or free thought. And the people in the reality of that time knew that there was something more to reality, and they knew there was something that they wanted to do. They knew they wanted to rebel, but the words didn't exist in the language to be able to convey those understandings to people. And it's very much like that in attempting to convey spiritual or energetic understandings to people within the confines of the English language, because the words to explain these understandings simply don't exist. So you have to take very roundabout, metaphorical approaches to presenting the information to people. Unfortunately, many people are also extremely blinded by religion, and that's not to say anything against religion. You know, people have their own ideas of what religion is, but unfortunately, there has been organizations and mechanisms that have been superimposed over religion, over the true teachings of whoever you choose to follow. You'll find that the church has imposed its own ideas and its own control mechanism over the teachings of religion, most especially Christianity, simply because it is Christian countries that have actually gone out and formed this whole New World Order system. And they've done it unbeknownst to themselves, unbeknownst to the participants of the religion, but many of them have been led away from the true teachings and have been led away from certain spiritual and energetic concepts regarding reality. Yeah, and thinking of reality as an energetic universe, and I know, look, I've completely left the topic that I began the show with, but it's important to understand this, and it is relative. You know, thinking of this as an energetic universe and how you can affect reality by being in the correct energy yourself goes a long way to explaining why there is so much fear that has been superimposed into our mindset. And this is done through religion as well. There's an awful lot of fear in modern religion, a fear of judgment, a fear of this, a fear of that. And there's very few understandings of how this fear affects the world around you and how you are interacting with the world energetically. You know, how you are speaking an energetic language that most people don't even realize they are speaking. It's the language of feeling and emotion. And a lot of people will look at this and they'll think this is just New Age woo-woo, pseudo-spiritual concepts that don't lead anywhere. And a lot of people, religious people, will actually be offended by such statements, but they shouldn't be, because they really should look at the teachings of what their masters were saying. Look at the teachings of what Christ was saying. Now, he talked a lot about the feeling that you are in and the state of mind that you are in. And this state of mind that you're in creates an energetic expression, an energetic signature that is picked up by reality around you. We can all do this. We can all feel this. I mean, you know, when you've walked into a room and a couple has been fighting in the room, you walk in there and you feel like you can cut the air with a knife because you can feel the energy of the room. So there's no denying that this happens. And it's the same as when you walk into a happy room. You can feel the happiness and the love and the joy in the room. You know, so there's no denying. There's no denying that there is an energetic signature that is left in the reality around you by the emotional state that you are in and what you are projecting into the field around you. And a lot of this has been covered up with all these New Age concepts and hidden from people, and people have been led into this little meditation bubble of spiritual narcissism where they're just going to sit there and think they can meditate the world into being a different place and not applying themselves to the world. So it's a fine line even presenting these type of concepts to people, because, as I said, it can be misconstrued and people can take things the wrong way. But it is an energetic universe, and there is an emotional language that we are all speaking all the time, and many people are not aware of what this language is and the fact that they are even speaking it. Now, when you can consider this and you can begin to see how it works and even feel how it works, and you can begin to apply these types of concepts, these types of understandings of how emotions and energy works to the current situation, you begin to see how we are being manipulated by having our thoughts controlled, having our minds controlled, by being deceived on so many levels and allowing our emotions to get in the way of what the reality is, and allowing our emotions to get in the way of ever looking at these things objectively. That's why we take such polarized stances on this. That's why there's people who are completely anti-Trump and people who are completely for Trump, and never the twain shall meet. They will rip each other's throats out before coming to any type of compromise. It's the same with people who love the cryptocurrency and those who fear the cryptocurrency. Never the twain shall meet. They are both polarized in their thinking, and they are allowing their emotions to dictate their reality for them. It's the same with the QAnon information. It's the same with the smart grid. It's the same with the Internet of Things. It's the same with so many issues that we face. people are looking at this from a very polarized perspective, and they're not realizing that the energy that surrounds them is mirroring this reality back to them. It's like people who are always stressed out about money have never got money because that's the emotional state they're in, and so that's what reality mirrors back to them. And again, these may sound like spiritual new age woo-woo concepts, but they're not. This is actually how it works. And I am actually going somewhere with this, folks, as well. I haven't left the topic that I started on too drastically. I'm just trying to bring these two subjects together because I think it's important that people pay attention to the energetic state they're in and the emotional state they're in and be aware of the emotional language they are speaking to the energetic field around them. And it really does work, folks, and I'm living proof that it does work. Having these types of spiritual concepts and this awareness of what the emotional state that you're in is and what you are projecting really does make a difference. You know, I'm not saying don't get angry, don't express your feelings to people. You should express your feelings to people. And if anger is necessary, then you should get angry because sometimes anger can be righteous. You know, it's when we get angry for the wrong reasons that it's bad. It's when we get angry because of false ego that things go wrong. So I'm not saying don't express your emotions. Just be aware that you are speaking an energetic language all the time and that this language can affect the reality that you live in. Indeed, it affects everybody's reality because when you think of this as a collective, you think of what the collective consciousness feels. You think about the emotional state that 90% of humanity is in, and you wonder why we face the situations that we face, and you wonder why we can't find a fix to this problem, when really the fix comes from within us. And this is something that I've been talking about for years on this show, folks, the fact that in order to change the world, you first need to change yourself, and it's having a concept of this emotional language that you're speaking that will help do that. This was the basis of the film that I put out in 2012 called The Awakening, and it's the way I live my life. And as I said, folks, I am living proof that it does work. And I'll bring you a couple of examples of this in my life after the break, but I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, a lot of people may look at the information that I just spoke about, the energetic universe and all that sort of stuff, and they may be thinking, oh my God, here we go, down this new age pathway. And really, that's not what it's about, folks. It's simply understanding how emotions affect reality around you. And as I said, when you can consider this and you can really begin to see how it works, it goes a long way to explaining why they do so much to keep us in a negative state. You know, why the news is always negative. They give you a little feel-good story here and there, always something light and fluffy, but never anything that empowers you. And all of the information is designed to keep you in fear and to keep you unsure of yourself. You know, gaslighting, constant gaslighting by the media, constant gaslighting by the government, telling you that what you feel is not true and you should just go by what they tell you you should feel, and you should always walk between the lines that they dictate you should walk between. And it's not really life, you know. They don't ever allow you to express yourself, and they never really teach you about the true energetic understandings or emotional understandings of the reality around you. You know, a lot of people who have so much difficulty dealing with the information, I mean, a lot of the information that I bring you on the show is just pretty uncomfortable, you know, and I try to turn it around. I really do. You know, when I bring you negative information, I always attempt to show you the reason it's empowering to know this information and what you can do with it. You know, don't dwell on it. Don't let it become your reality, but you can't ever fix a problem unless you know what the problem is. And that's why I so often address the problems, but I attempt to show you the way through these problems and the way to deal with it emotionally and energetically, because really that's what it's about. Now, as an example of this, back in 2008, I was doing the activism work that I've done for so long. I'd been pretty well slogging it out constantly since the attacks of September 11, 2001. I'd been hitting chat rooms and doing everything I could to get information out to people, but I'd never really understood how to harness the power of the internet. I didn't have a website. I didn't have any of that sort of stuff. I used to do a lot of work in the real world. I used to go and give talks to people and hold meetings and just have round table discussions with as many people as I could, just in an attempt to alert people to what was going on. I used to go and participate in community meetings, all sorts of stuff. Now, I've done this work for most of my life in some form or other. But when I decided to use the power of the internet, I just couldn't really figure out how to do it. And during this period, I used to very often sit in meditation. Now, that's regardless of how people out there may feel about meditation. I personally find it to be highly beneficial. But I was sitting in meditation one day, and I had this incredible experience where I basically connected with everything. I connected with an entire quantum universe. It was like I was everywhere all at once. It was really the most profoundly moving experience of my life, and I'll spare you the details because I have explained it in detail on earlier podcasts somewhere, I'm sure I have. If anyone wants me to, well, perhaps I'll explain it again because it was an incredibly moving experience, but it was like reality split and I just connected with everything and everybody that there was in a quantum field of universes. And it was like I downloaded the entire emotional content of a multiverse of universes into my body. It was just a profound experience. I don't know really how to explain it, but I had this connection with absolutely everything. And I don't even know how long it lasted. It may have been a second. It could have been an hour. I don't know. It was like an eternal moment that I entered. It was so profound, and I took this deep breath, and I fell out of my chair and landed on my knees on the floor, and I cried for 7.5 hours. It was like no other experience I've ever had in my entire life, and nothing that I've ever experienced since, but it was this moment of connection, and I really saw the reality of this being an emotionally based universe, and that we have a higher language that we are speaking. It is the language of feeling and emotion, and this is how we are interacting with the world around us, and we don't know it because we're not aware that we are speaking this language. But we are. We're speaking this language all the time. We are generating an electromagnetic field all the time, and the field is also speaking back to us, and this is called intuition. But very often we don't listen because we've simply forgotten the language and we've never been taught these concepts. But it was a profound experience for me, and it taught me the true nature of prayer. It helped me understand more completely the true nature of prayer, what it's really about. And trust me, I'm going somewhere with all these folks. I'm still talking about the smart grid. It's just another way of looking at things. But you look at the true nature of prayer. You look at what we're taught prayer is, how we're taught to pray for things. We're taught to pray for love and to pray for peace. But these are both negative affirmations. By praying for love, you're acknowledging that there is no love. By praying for peace, you are acknowledging that there is no peace. And you look into the way the Native Americans and people in shamanistic traditions pray, and they use the energy field. An American Indian will stand in a stone circle, and to pray for rain, he will put himself in the emotional state where he is standing in the pouring rain, where he can feel it on his skin. He can smell it running down the walls of the hut. He can feel his toes squishing in the mud. He can taste it. He can smell it. And he's basically giving thanks for the prayer already being answered. The prayer already exists. The answer is already there. It has already been manifest. Put yourself in that energetic state, and then it will rain. And I started looking at this, and I started thinking about the concept of prayer, and I thought, well, one of the best ways for me to get the message out to people, one of the best ways for me to reach a massive amount of people with what I have to say, would be to be a radio host. But I didn't know how to be a radio host. I didn't know the first thing about being a radio host. I didn't know how to go about applying for a job to be a radio host or anything. I didn't even know about internet radio at the time. But I just got up, and I did my stuff. I made my YouTube clips. I was working on the film The Big Picture at the time. I made that. I finished that film. I was hitting chat rooms all the time as much as I could and trying to wake people up to the fact that 9/11 was an inside job, and I was doing what I could in that space. But I just put myself in the energetic state where I was a radio host. While I was sitting here at the computer, I just put myself in the state. Okay, what would it feel like to be a radio host? So I put myself in that energy. It wasn't that I was pretending I was a radio host. I didn't get up and say, hey, I'm a radio host, and pretend to do all this stuff that I wasn't doing. It wasn't anything like that. I just imagined what it would feel like to be a radio host, and I put myself in that energy and went about my life as I normally do. Did the things that I did every day that I was normally doing, and didn't change a thing. And within 6 weeks, I was a radio host. Within 6 weeks, I was offered a show on a station. And the station that I speak on, American Voice Radio, is an actual radio station. You can tune in on your car. It's got a footprint that goes right out across the United States, so it has a potentially very large audience, and it's an actual radio station. It's not just online radio. And I did nothing to secure that position. I made no attempt to become a radio host in any way, shape or form. It just simply came and dropped in my lap, and suddenly I was a radio host. It took 6 weeks. 6 weeks of simply understanding how that energy works and putting myself into that energetic state with absolutely no stake in the outcome. If it didn't happen, it didn't happen. If it didn't work, it didn't work. Whatever I'm doing, whatever path I'm on, I have absolutely no stake in the outcome because this is all a temporary journey anyway. And we're given all of these parameters and stakes we should measure ourselves to, and we have a stake in the outcome of all this stuff. What for? What for? It's going to be over in a minute. You're only here for a little while. Why do you need to build this huge pile of junk to sit on and waste your life doing it? What, so you can just sit at the top of the pile and say, here I am at my big pile of stuff. Look how clever I am. But you missed out on being you. You missed out on the emotional journey of being you. And very often you milked other people's emotions and fed off other people's emotions to get where you are, because that's what we often do without even knowing that we're doing it, because we're speaking this language all the time without even knowing that we're speaking it. So when you think about all this, you think about how we create our own reality via the energetic state and the emotional state that we're in, and then start looking at this, start looking at the QAnon information, start looking at the Bitcoin information, start looking at the blockchain, cryptocurrencies, the whole worldwide situation, what's available to us now and where we could go if we use the tools that are available to us from the correct emotional state and take advantage of all the opportunities that all of these tools provide, whether or not they have bad points to them. You know, everything can be used for bad. You can pick up a shovel and you can dig a hole and plant a tree, or you can hit someone over the head with it and kill them and dig a grave to bury them. You know, so it's how you use the tools. It's always how you use the tools. And there's always going to be someone that wants to plant the tree, and there's going to be someone that wants to hit someone over the head and bury them. So it doesn't mean the tool is bad, and it doesn't mean both possibilities are not there. Both possibilities are always there. It's the same with the cryptocurrency. It's the same with the information that's coming out with QAnon. It's how we apply ourselves to this information and how we look at it energetically and how we look at it emotionally. You know, even if you think Bitcoin is going to lead you into the smart system, don't be in fear of Bitcoin. If Bitcoin is going to lead you into the smart system and the smart system is unavoidable, then why wouldn't you want to have money when you get in there? You're going to want to have wealth. You're going to want to have something to be able to survive within that system. So there's a good side to that anyway. But again, that's only going to happen if you comply with the smart system, because you can still use cryptocurrency but not comply with the smart system. You don't have to use the smart supermarkets. You don't have to shop digitally all the time. Even if you use Bitcoin, you can go and draw it out from an ATM and shop with cash. You don't have to go and use the Amazon supermarkets and all the stuff that's coming online. It's your choice, ladies and gentlemen. You can use it as a tool for freedom but still not support the smart grid. And the same applies for the other side, for those who absolutely support Bitcoin. You know, even if you think Bitcoin is the be-all and end-all that's going to just lead you to safety, just don't forget the smart system, because it could lead you to safety as long as you don't discount the smart system and see where you're being led in that direction. Because if you're in the correct energetic state and you can see Bitcoin as leading you only to ultimate freedom and you're going to disregard the smart system and not even participate in it, well, then it may well do that. But if you're someone who thinks Bitcoin is going to lead you into the smart system, well, again, it's how you apply yourself to it. If you're going to be in fear and you're just going to allow all this to happen around you, then that's where it's going to lead you. But again, it's how we use the tool and the emotional state that we attach to the use of the tool. People just need to separate their thinking when looking at A, Bitcoin, B, the blockchain, C, digital currency, D, the smart grid, and E, 5G. Because they're all connected in some way, but they are all different things. Even 5G and the smart grid are two different things. You know, 5G is the radio waves that is needed to power the smart grid because it's going to provide the bandwidth they need to do it. But the smart grid is the smart devices, smart meters, smart fridges, smart phones, everything that tracks everything you're doing and calculates and measures and logs everything that you're doing. This is the smart grid. And it's going to go further. It'll go to self-driving cars and all sorts of stuff like that, which is why they've been staging these terror attacks with cars. And you can see where all this is going. So it's important to differentiate between all these things. You know, we can still use cryptocurrencies without participating in the smart grid. We can still use cell phones and we can still use the internet and technology without having 5G come online. Because, as I've said so often, the problem underlying 5G, again, is because it's a millimeter wave. Not only is it very damaging for health anyway, just by being there, and will provide an environment which will be similar to living inside an airport scanner all the time. You know, not only that, but the potential for it to be used as a weapon system, which underlies the whole thing as well. This is very, very dangerous. This is basically putting in a digital prison in all of our countries, and it's there, and it has the possibility of hurting and paralyzing and restricting the movements of large numbers of people simply at the flick of a switch by government, and that is not something we should be allowing to come online. So there's that as well with the 5G. I mean, there's a lot of aspects to this, folks. But if we can put ourselves in the correct energetic state, accept the freedom that the cryptocurrencies are bringing to us, accept the freedom that is being offered to us by the exposing of all this bad information by QAnon, and just assume that we are free, assume that we are no longer tolerating wrong behavior, assume that we are now going to rat out the criminals, and we are now going to name the criminals for who they are, and we make a lot of noise in doing so. We can find a way out of this. But don't think it's just the people that are being named in the QAnon text, folks, because every member of government is part of a criminal cabal, every single one of them. You know, anyone in government who hasn't spoken out about the fiat currency system, anyone who supports the crimes of Israel, anyone who supports the continued prohibition of cannabis, anyone who supports this entire fake war of terror or the bombing of Syria or any of the stuff that's going on, folks, let's face it, there's no grey area here. Any politician who is in a position of office at the moment who has not spoken out about all these things, any politician who supports his fake war of terror and has not been asking for a new investigation into 9/11 should be removed from office immediately. None of these people are trustworthy. None of these people should have this position. And like I've said before, this is something that we need to take into account with every single thing that we're calculating. You know, any plan we are trying to formulate to find a way out of this mess. Now, no one can give you a plan until they calculate into it the fact that the world is run by criminals, the fact that the governments themselves are the source of pain. The governments themselves are the source of crime. They are the source of war. They are the source of all humanity's woes, simply because we tolerate the behavior of these people, irrespective of what the controlling hand behind it is. Now, until we calculate that in, until we factor that into our equations, you can't hope to do anything. You know, you can go and teach people about permaculture. It's not going to do any good because you can't put a permaculture garden in anywhere. You can go teach people about cob housing, teach people about earthships, teach people about all these energy-efficient ways of doing things. That's great. Go have the workshops. Go and learn these skills and then go and try to do it. Go and try to build an earthship. Go and try to build a cob house. Go and try to build any of these things that are energy efficient or change the system or go against the system in any way, and you'll find that you will not be allowed to do it. So what is the point of learning the skill? What is the point of even promoting any of this stuff if we are not going to factor into the equation the fact that the government is a criminal enterprise that is going to prevent you from doing any of this stuff? And the only way we can ever find solace for the human condition is to get these criminals out of power. That's only going to happen if we name them for what they are. You know, we don't need all this secrecy and all this stuff that we've got. We don't need the FBI and the CIA and the NSA and all these different groups. All we need is transparency and honesty in government, and we could fix the whole world. You know, all we need is if the government would listen to the people, or if we actually had a government of the people, for the people, like we are told that we have. Because we simply don't have any of these things. You know, and ultimately it comes down to the lack of backbone of the species. And again, you can't really blame people because we've been corralled into this. We've been taught to be this way. We've been trained not to think for ourselves and to trust the ruling cacistocracy that is actually the ones that are committing all the crimes. So, you know, you can't blame humans for the human condition, really. I mean, you can to some degree, but you have to be a little gentle on people because they certainly have been programmed into this mindset. But as I've been saying to you on this show and on previous shows, there's a lot of tools there for us now. There's a way out of this. If people can come together and unify in some degree, at least respect each other enough to see the way out and see a common focus, which is a removal of this criminal cacistocracy, at least a disregarding of them. That's what you have to do to remove them, folks, is disregard them. just don't do what government says anymore. You know, but again, you've got to have the respect of the community to get away with this. Because if you do it on your own, you'll get arrested, you'll get put in jail, blah, blah, blah. The rest of the community will gloat and watch because they love to get the power from seeing someone else go down because they're so repressed in what they do. And that's why you have to unite with these people. You've got to get to know your neighbours. You've got to become friends with people. That's the first step to freedom, folks, is becoming friends with people. And you have to know yourself enough to respect yourself enough to be able to respect other people and allow them to think differently, to believe different things, and to be on a different path than you. Now, you want that allowance from them, so you should be giving that allowance to them. You know, that's the first step. That's been something that I've said way back since the first show, but that's the first step. If you can do that, then you have this common unity in the community. You have this unification of the people, a unification of diversity, if that's the way you want to put it, because that's really what it is. A respect for diversity and a unification of spirit against a common enemy, which is the ruling kakistocracy, which has been destroying this world and destroying the lives of the people and farming this species for generation after generation. That's the problem, folks. And we need to identify that and we can find a way out. And like I said, there's so many tools here for us to do it now. Just get involved, folks, with whatever it is you're seeing. Get involved in it and lead by example in what you do and work to make a difference by being a shining light for those around you. That will make all the difference in the world. And share information. Share this show. Share the other show. Share anything that resonates with you, anything that you think may wake up the people around you and empower them, then share it. Do your little bit. Everybody can do their bit to make this a better world. And if we all kick in and do it, I think we're going to see some massively good changes coming in 2018. Something I'd really like to see would be some focus from people. You know, as I've often said, you know, conspiracy misdirection. There's so many people with their heads down so many rabbit holes trying to prove their theories to be true to people and latching on to any concept they can, you know, and arguing the point over whether their theory is right or whether their theory is wrong and shouting down anyone who disagrees with them. They're not seeing that we have a clear and present danger, which is this smart grid. You know, everybody knows the New World Order is real. Everybody knows governments are criminals. Everybody knows there's a control system. Everybody knows that there's this police state they want to march out. Everybody knows about the corruption, the pedophile rings, all this stuff. We all know what's going on. We're all expecting this big New World Order Leviathan to come online, but nobody's really looking at how it's happening. Now, as I've been saying to people, it's coming out underneath the surface in the form of the smart grid. That's the clear and present danger that we're in, and if we address that, you know, if we can keep the technology but address the smart grid, the control systems that are being brought into control and limit the possibilities of this technology, then we've got a real chance. We really do. But we've got to see how the technology is being used to limit and control us. We don't need to have any restrictions on the use of the internet and what people can or cannot do. I mean, sure, we'd like to get rid of a lot of the porn on there. That would be a good idea because it's destroying people's minds. But as far as people sharing their ideas and sharing their thoughts and having an opinion, well, all this stuff needs to stay there. All this stuff needs to be promoted. And this whole concept of people needing to be politically correct and social justice warriors and all this rubbish needs to be thrown out the window. And we don't need to have to pay to be alive. You know, that constant state of scarcity that everyone's been kept in, that's one of the real problems as well. But even again, you know, losing this state of scarcity, we're in danger of allowing the system to collapse around us if we do that. I mean, if you gave everyone in the world $1 billion, no one would go to work anymore and the system would stop functioning. You wouldn't have food on the shelves and all this sort of stuff. So, you know, even when we look at all this, folks, we look at freeing ourselves from the system through abundance and all the things that can go with it, it's a fine line that we walk, and we've got to be very, very careful how we play the cards that are being laid on the table for us, but we've got to see that it is a play, and it's going to be how we do it. It's going to be how we use the information and what we decide to do with it. But people have to retain their objectivity through this. Don't be in fear of the cryptocurrency. See how the cryptocurrency could be used to your benefit if we play our cards right. But again, you know, even when you look at that, there is the danger of everything suddenly becoming digital and you're completely dependent upon cryptocurrency and the power goes out. What are you going to do then? Which is why, as I've said, even if you're using cryptocurrency, you need to be pulling money out of a machine and actually using that in the real world when you're spending it. So it's a fine line with all of this stuff, folks. But we've got to look at the tools that have been given to us. I think there is a lot of tools being given to us and we have to look at how it can be led or how we can lead it if we decide to take control of ourselves. Because that's been the underlying problem all along. is our lack of control of ourselves, our lack of control of the direction our own lives are going in. You know, very often because we're running on the treadmill, the whole concept of having to pay to be alive, this is where it all comes from. And this is something that the cryptocurrencies could heal and could alleviate for us. Again, it's a fine line. We've got to be careful in even doing this because of our dependence on this system. And we are dependent on it, folks. For those out there who think, oh, I'm not dependent on the system. Well, yes, you are. We all are in some way. There isn't anybody who is so free that they are not dependent upon this system in some way, shape, or form. Not unless they're living in some little isolated community somewhere and they're completely self-sufficient and they've got an electrical generator and all that sort of stuff, their own fresh water, all that sort of stuff, which everybody cannot do. It's very, very rare to find people in this position. So we are dependent upon this system in some way. So we don't want to bring the system crashing down. What we need is a system that actually serves us. And the reason it doesn't serve us is because of our tolerance of wrong behavior. The reason it doesn't serve us is because we simply allow the world to be run by criminals and we just go along with it. And we allow ourselves to be corralled. We allow ourselves to be farmed. We allow ourselves to be coerced into having to pay to be alive. That's a big part of the problem, folks. But being aware of this can solve the problem. And seeing the importance of uniting with your community, can't you see how simple this would be? Imagine if all the people suddenly respected each other and thought, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We've actually got some great ideas. We've got all these permaculture ideas and all these cob houses and all these earthships and all these things we want to do, and we're just going to do it. And if the government tells us we can't, then we're going to sack the government and we're going to put more responsible managers of infrastructure in there, because that is what government is supposed to do. They're supposed to manage the infrastructure that we wish to create. But we are the ones who need to have the say in what that infrastructure is. We are the ones who need to have a say in what we create for our own lives and in the direction that humanity takes. But that's only going to happen when we choose to participate. And now we can do it. Now we have all the tools we need to do it. Now we've got everything laid bare. We've even got a cryptocurrency outside the banking system we can use to build this new world if we want to do it. And we can use the cryptocurrency and build the new world without being led into the new world order that they want to lead us into. We can use cryptocurrencies. We can use digital currencies without using a digital grid, without using a smart grid. You know, we can go in both directions, but we can choose which direction that we're going. And ultimately, it all comes up to us. So step back and look at things. Put things on a worldwide stage. Put things in perspective. And see what can be used, see how it can be used against us, and see how it can be used to benefit us as well, if we are the ones that are wielding the technology, and we are the ones that are in control of our own lives. That's the thing, folks. Don't let other people make the decisions. Make these decisions for yourself. But step back, get out of the fear, and look at things with a clear, open mind. I think you'll see some pretty amazing stuff is possible right now. There's some pretty amazing pathways that are opening up for us. Well, folks, we've reached that time again where it's the end of the show. It seems to have come around quite quickly for me today, but here we are. Again, I'll be speaking at Anacapulco next month. I believe that is sold out. So if you haven't got your ticket for Anacapulco, then I'm sorry, folks, but there's not much I can do to help you there. I've actually had a lot of people contacting me asking me if I can get them tickets, but I really don't have any control over it. So that's just the way it goes, and I'll look forward to seeing those who can make it at the event in Mexico in February. After that, I will be speaking at the Open Mind event in Ireland, and I'm really looking forward to doing that one. That is on the 3rd to 5th of March, I believe, and that's at Dooley's Hotel in Waterford, Ireland. And it is confirmed that I'm going to be speaking at AV9 in May. That's Ian Crane's AV9. I don't have a banner up on the website for that yet. I don't have any confirmed dates for that yet, but I'll get something up on the website as soon as the information becomes available to me. I will also get banners up there for Regeneration in LA, which will be happening sometime around late May or June. And I'll get banners up there for any Cambo workshops and other things that I'll be doing, folks. A lot of people have been asking me for dates on these things, and I simply don't have them yet. I've just been told they're happening, but as we get closer to the events, I'll make sure I get banners up on the website for you. But at the moment, it's Anacapulco in February, the Open Mind Conference in March, AV9 in May, and Regeneration in May or June, and Cumbo Workshops in Hawaii from June 4th through to about June 22nd, and I'll get a banner up for that as soon as one becomes available as well. But that's it for me, folks. Thank you to all those who continue to support the website. Thank you to all of my Patreon supporters. Again, you people are the ones who keep the show on the air. You are the ones that keep the information flowing, and I cannot thank you enough for that and for giving me the help that you have in getting this information out to the world, because I think it's important that people do get this message. And thank you for believing in the message as much as I do and helping to get the message out to people. But that's it for me, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.